time, I want to invite Neil Brower. Is that right? Did I say it right? Brower? Is it Brower or Brower? Brewer. Oh, I knew I gave one of them. I told you that. I've been pronouncing, telling somebody it's totally else. I've been pronouncing it Brower. He said he likes that way. He goes, I like that. It sounds sort of French or something. But anyways, if we could stand and welcome Neil, and he's going to come and share with us this morning. So.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me? Did I turn this on right? Okay, good. You know, sometimes you walk into a house and it feels more like a home than it does a gathering of people. And this morning it feels like a home here. It really does. I've had the good pleasure and blessing of traveling across the country these past few weeks, meeting different expressions of the body of Christ. And I tell you, we come in different flavors and shapes and sizes and beliefs and doctrines and hoodoos and whatnots and all kinds of stuff. But sometimes you walk into a place and it just feels like home. So this morning feels like home. And you can check the tape from last weekend. I didn't say the same thing, I promise. It could have been the flag waving and the tambourine banging that made me feel like home. I don't know, but it feels like home here. And it's definitely not the snow, because back in North Carolina, we don't do snow. So thank you, Pastor Perry, for opening up your pulpit like this. I hope y'all know what kind of a man of God you have at the helm of this church. Very few men who shepherd a congregation would open up their pulpit like your shepherd did this morning. And so I honor you for that. I do. And I know that this whole congregation honors you for many other things, of which I hope the Lord will give me a chance to find out. So I have a short 45-second introduction video to show you our specialized Navy SEAL team that is going to the Middle East. This is our crack unit that is launching into the Middle East. The Lord spoke something to me the other morning that ministered to me. No, over here, buddy. The Lord spoke something to me the other morning that makes me feel like even more at home. That's my family. That's Lindsay, my wife. Layla, she's our oldest. She's 8. Adelaide is 5. And Judah, who I promise is well behaved, he is turning 2, actually in 2 days. He'll be 2 years old. And we have another little arrow that's on the way. And he is due in end of June, July. So we are blessed, and that is our crack Navy SEAL squad that's going to the Middle East. Yeah. So as Pastor Perry said, we were going to show a film tonight, a short documentary film that I put together, testifying of what God is doing in the Middle East. And it's not going to happen as we planned, but what I would like everyone to do, if you would still like to see the film, is get out your phone and send me an email right now. I know getting out your cell phone in Sunday service is normally frowned upon, but we'll allow it this time. And my email address is up here. So go ahead and send me an email right now and just say in the subject line, just say film. And when I get home, I'll send you a link to the film so that you can watch it. It's a 35-minute documentary that shows what God's doing in the Middle East. And it testifies of the incredible things that are happening in the desert right now and how a wide open door for the gospel has been kicked open by the Holy Spirit of God. It is awesome. There is no other place I would like to be than the desert, especially when it's doing this outside. So go ahead and send me an email. And when I get home, I'll be sure to send you a link to the film so that you can watch it and be blessed by it and share it with others. Neil@ironkitefilms.com. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we have worshiped you, we have given to you, we have blessed your name, we have taken communion and remembered the sacrifice of your Son. God, we gather together as an expression of the body of Christ and his authority and his power and his glory and his wonder and all that he has done for us. God, as we now speak of things that you desire to see us do to bring him even more glory in a place where his name is scorned, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak, that these words would have no fingerprints on them, but they would be divinely inspired, covered in the breath of Almighty God. God, take a broken vessel and speak through him. God, take clogged ears and unstop them. Take hearts that may be resistant to a people group and soften them. God, do what only you can do. Bring glory to your name. Bring glory to your name, God, however way you see fit. God, we yield ourselves to you. I yield my mouth to you. We yield our ears to you. Living God, come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many have been to the Middle East? Israel? Where have you been, brother? Iraq. Did you carry a weapon? Okay, he's got the weapon haircut. That's awesome. What cities were you in Iraq? Yeah, southern part? Okay. Anyone else? Where? In the booth? Where were you?
Iran.
Okay. Yeah. And anyone else? Yes, ma'am? Okay. Yes, ma'am?
Israel.
Okay. We've got a couple Israels, Dubai, Iran, Iraq. Okay, well, I lived last year with this stealth unit in Iraq. I didn't have a weapon, but I did have the Holy Ghost. And so we lived there in northern Iraq for a few months, and our lives were completely changed. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But what I want you to do this morning is just open your hearts to this place that is misunderstood, greatly feared, somewhat despised, but in need of the gospel. They are in need of the same message that someone gave to you at some point of what Jesus has already done for you. About 7 years ago, I sat in a church service similar to this. I was in the back row. And it was a tiny Baptist church in North Carolina. And I was hungry for God. I mean, I was desperate for God. I had been saved. I wasn't desperate for salvation. But I was thirsty to see more of God. I saw that what was happening in Scripture was not happening in my life. So I sat on that back row and I listened to a man testify of being in a tiny Muslim nation in Africa, called Guinea-Bissau, preaching about Jesus to Muslims. And he would lay hands on sick people, and sometimes they would get healed. And he would testify these incredible things happening to this people group who, I'll be honest with you, I despised. They had attacked our nation. They wanted to destroy what they couldn't destroy in the rest of our nation. I had no desire for this people. But something happened in me. And as I sat there, thirsty for more of God, he said, "The Holy Spirit is really moving in this Muslim nation." And I thought, well, I need to go to that Muslim nation. If the Holy Spirit is moving there, then I need to go. Because I don't see him moving around here, so I'm going to go to where he's already moving. Don't tell those Baptist friends that I said that. And so I did, and I went to Guinea-Bissau, and I shared Jesus with Muslims for the first time, and I saw what happens when someone who does not know Jesus, forget the fact that they're Muslim, they don't know Jesus. What happens when they encounter someone who does know Jesus? And then you get your hands on them, and you pray for them, and the power of God hits them. I saw a crippled man walk. I still have his cane in my house as a testimony of what God can do to even Muslims. And so that trip and a couple trips after that began something in me that God breathed on 3 years later. I was in a worship service. I was worshiping. I wasn't asking Jesus for anything, but the Lord took me up in a vision, and he set me on a cliff overlooking this mass, just desert plain, this vast desert plain. And it was filled with people, this desert people that were staring up at us. And he said, "I have little ones here who do not know me, but I know them, and I need you to tell them about me." And so that's when things started to shift in my heart for this people of the desert. And since that time, the Lord has been positioning my family to go to the Middle East. Like I said, we went last year. We ministered to Muslims, hands-on. We lived in northern Iraq, where there are hundreds of thousands of refugees living in tents because of a war that's been going on in Syria for going on 4.5, almost 5 years now. The crazy thing about refugees is God loves them very much. Scripture's very clear. God bends down low for the broken, the humble, the contrite, those who are kicked out, despised, have nothing. It's as if God's heart is bent just a little bit more towards them. And so we would go into these camps with this posture of boldness, authority, confidence, and we would preach Jesus. I don't have time for relationship evangelism. I don't have time to build a relationship with someone for 5 years and hope that they ask me what makes me different. We would go in and boldly proclaim Jesus. We would go into their tent. We would sit down. We would drink their tea. We would eat their food, take their parasites home with us, and we would preach Jesus. Maybe we would share the gospel with them, and they would ask questions. They were open to hear about Jesus. And we would ask if they had any sick people. And of course, in a refugee camp, 9 out of 10 people are sick. If they're not sick, then the women are barren. If they're not barren, then they're just plagued with all kinds of mental illnesses. And so we would do what Jesus did. We would get our hands on them and we would pray in his name. And man, I'm telling you, incredible things would happen. They didn't come at us with swords. They never once tried to kidnap us. They didn't come at us with guns. They received. They opened their hearts and they received. And I saw barren women now pregnant. I saw people with diabetes, their bodies riddled with pain, completely set free and healed instantly. And so they experienced the power of God. And then once they experience the power of God, they're open to hear about the love of Jesus. And so we would sit and we would share with them the incredible things that Jesus has done. There is an openness right now for the gospel. An absolute openness right now. What we see in the news are stories about ISIS, stories about Al-Qaeda, stories about how Iran wants to destroy America. That's very true. It is absolutely true. If I were to go and preach on a street corner in Iran right now, you'd be reading about me in the news. But what has happened with this extreme violence is the enemy has overplayed his hand. The true face of Islam has been exposed. And because of that, there is a wide open door for the gospel. People are asking questions. They're saying, how could this group, ISIS, represent and claim Islam? Our Prophet Muhammad didn't do these things, did he? He did. He certainly did. What ISIS is doing is walking out Islam to its end result. And so we sit down and we tell these people, yes, I know it's horrible and tragic, but this is your religion. This is what you have been taught your whole life. And this is what happens when it eventually walks itself out. And so now they say, what do we do? What does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about our prophet? They're asking these types of questions. The harvest is incredibly plentiful. The only question now is who's going to be the ones to go there and answer these questions? Because before too long, their imams are going to come up with answers that skirt around the issue and couch it in a certain way that makes it acceptable. Now is the time to go to the desert and proclaim to this people this one Jesus who you've heard about as just a prophet. He's the Son of God, and he loves you, and he died for you, and he can save you and cleanse you from your sins. They need to hear this message. And the cool thing about what we are doing is we're not like setting out on some sort of mission to do something for God. We're jumping into the current of what God is already doing in the Middle East. And part of my heart in traveling to churches is to provoke others to say, God, what would you have me do concerning this people of the desert? Praise God, he sent my family. But man, we need hundreds and thousands of other families, laid down lovers of Jesus, who are willing to walk into a room like that song we sang. What's the best way to bring Jesus into a room? For the one who has Jesus living in him to walk into that room. The dead begin to rise. There's resurrection life in all you do. Come on, man, that song we sang, that had the kiss of heaven on it this morning. You felt it. That's what the desert needs, is these ones that have Jesus in them to walk into the room, to walk into the refugee tent, to walk into the mosque, carrying Jesus in them. So part of my heart in being here today is not just to tell you about what we are doing. Yes, we have needs. Please take a prayer card on your way out. Keep in touch with us. That's awesome. But my other goal is to provoke you, to introduce this opportunity in the desert for you who have Jesus living in you. There is no other place that I would rather be than in the desert. Because that's where God is moving so powerfully. I want to show you a scripture real quick. We've got just a couple minutes. It's in Joel chapter 3. I've got so much that I could share with you. But I want to give you scriptural evidence for what I'm talking about. I could give you prophetic evidence. I could give you apostolic vision, which I believe we have. But I want to give you scriptural evidence. Joel chapter 3. You that went to Jerusalem, did you notice the valley of Jehoshaphat between the Mount of Olives and the main Jerusalem? The valley of decision, that's what it's referred to. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will enter into judgment with them there because of my people. Who is them? Verse 12 says, it's the surrounding nations. The nations that surround Israel, I will enter into judgment with them there because of my people, my inheritance Israel. The nations have scattered the Israelites in foreign countries and divided up my land. Skip down to verse 12. Let the nations be roused and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of decision, a literal valley in Jerusalem. Let the nations be roused. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to judge them there. Why? Because of how they have treated my people, Israel. These nations that surround Israel are storing up for themselves a mighty wrath for how they have treated the apple of his eye. Joel chapter 3. What comes before Joel chapter 3? Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious. He is compassionate. He is slow to anger, rich in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. He relents from the valley of decision. Joel chapter 2 comes before Joel chapter 3. He is a God of mercy and compassion. He relents from sending disaster. We are very, very familiar with one verse in Joel chapter 2. He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. We love that verse. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of this is Joel chapter 2, which is the season we are in right now. We are in a Joel chapter 2 season of mercy and grace and compassion. This God of love is relenting from sending disaster. It's a window of opportunity that the nations that surround Israel are in right now, as long as ones get there in time who are carrying this message. Joel chapter 2 is the season we are in. Now, I really, 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 really want you to see this film, because it explains in depth and it shows testimonies of Muslims getting baptized in our little kiddie pool in our driveway. It introduces you to former Muslims who now believe in Jesus. It shows you what it's like in the camps. It introduces you to other workers that are there in the desert. And it does a great job of explaining what I've done here about how the harvest is so ripe. It is so ripe and ready. So send me an email so that you can watch this film. But even more than that, my challenge to you is just to get alone with God sometime this week and say, all right, God, I heard this crazy southerner talking about moving to the desert. Is that for me too? What would you have me do for this Joel chapter 2 season that we are in? Would you have me pray for Muslims? Would you have me share Jesus with my Muslim coworker? Would you have me make a short, temporary trip to the Middle East just to see what it's like? God, would you have me lay down my life and move to the desert for the glory of your name? Would you have me walk into the room and see the dead come to life? So do me that one favor. Ask Jesus that this week. How do I fit into this, Lord? Thank y'all so much for allowing me to come and worship with you and share my heart with you and share with you all that Jesus is doing in the Middle East.
I'm going to ask if our musicians could come back up, and we're going to, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. We are going to receive a special offering to sow into this ministry and encourage you, you know, just as Neil shared with us, that take some time even today and say, Lord, what's my part? What do you want to be doing here? And just be open in prayer. Prayer makes a difference. You might think, well, you know, if I'm not going, if I'm not there, I really can't make a difference. But prayer, if you look through the New Testament, how many times the Apostle Paul asked the churches to pray for him? Because he knew and there was an understanding of how important prayer is. So we're going to go ahead, and if we could go ahead and stand. And if you just make your checks out to Marion Christian Center, we'll put it all in one offering and give a check to the ministry there. And Ryan is going to lead us in a closing song. We're also going to ask our personal ministry team if they would come forward. These ones up here, the personal ministry team's available to pray with you about anything you would like prayer for. If you're a guest today, you're